Bereshit. OU Israel presents...
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom, and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Shabbat Bereshit. Notice I said Shabbat Bereshit and not Shabbat Parshat Bereshit. This is one of the few sedras that gives a name to the Shabbat. Next week will be Shabbat Parshat Noach, the Shabbat on which we read the portion of Noach. But this week, it's more. It's part of the name of the Shabbat. It's Shabbat Bereshit. The original Shabbat Bereshit refers not to the Shabbat on which we read the portion of Bereshit, but it refers to the Shabbat of creation, which we read about in the very first portion of the Torah this week. I hope that did not confuse. I hope it actually enlightened and clarified. Be that as it may, today is the 27th day of Tishrei, 5770, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, on the secular calendar, October 15th, 2009. And we've got a lot to do, but let's start with Tehillim, Kuf Kaf Aleph, Psalm 121, because we do not say Tachanun for the balance of Tishrei following the holiday of Sukkot, and that includes today. Shir Hama'alot, Shir Lama'alot, Esa Einai El Heharim, Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. Ezri Me'im Adonai, Osei Shamayim Va'oretz. Al Yitein Lamot Raglecha, Al Yanum Shomerecha. Hine lo yanum v'lo yishan, shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha, Adonai tzilecha al yad yeminecha. Yomam hashemesh lo yakeka v'yareach balayla. Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra, yishmor et nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzeitecha uvoecha me'ata v'ad olam. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara uvashivya, ha'omidim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, Hamakom yirachem aleihem, v'yotziyeim mitzara liyurvacha u'me'afela la'ora u'mishibud la'geula, hashta ba'agala u'vizman kariv v'nomar amen. In addition to the Shabbat being the Torah reading of Bereshit, it is also Rosh Chodesh benching for Mar Cheshvan. Rosh Chodesh will be Sunday and Monday, and therefore this Shabbat is not only Mevorachim, but it is also called Machor Chodesh. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. And there is a special Haftarah that preempts the regularly scheduled Haftarah of Parshat Bereshit. It's a Haftarah that begins with those words, Machor Chodesh. It's an episode with King Saul, young future King David, Yonatan, son of Shaul HaMelech, and it takes place on the day before Rosh Chodesh. That's how it begins, and that portion became the Haftarah reading whenever Erev Rosh Chodesh is on Shabbat. I shouldn't say whenever, because there are situations where that Haftorah, which preempts the weekly Haftorah, is itself preempted for Parshat Shkalim, for Parshat HaChodesh, and during the summer, after Tisha B'Av, for the seven haftarot of consolation. So even when Erev Rosh Chodesh is Shabbat, on those days we do not read the Mochar Chodesh Haftarah. It is just on the other months where the Erev Rosh Chodesh is Shabbat. If you got all that, let's start at the beginning, because our Torah cycle begins with this Shabbat. On Simchat Torah, we had a preview after we finished Vizot HaBracha. We previewed Bereshit this Shabbat. We begin Bereshit. Now, I'm going to present one, what I think is a major school of thought, with my own ideas attached to it. And it's an elaboration of the lead tidbit in the hard copy and electronic versions of Torah Tidbits. So I am moving it on to Torah Tidbits audio so I can say more than what I wrote about in Torah Tidbits. I call it the three phases of creation. Phase number one is summed up in the very first pasuk, the very first verse of the Torah. Bereshit bara Elokim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. According to one, as I say, significant school of thought, this describes, in very short cryptic form, what happened not during the 6 days of creation, not during the first day of creation, but before that. I use the term before advisedly because before the 6 days of creation, there was no such thing yet as time or days. And therefore, for lack of words and language to describe what might have been before the 6 days of creation, we will have to borrow the term before, but it's not accurate. Before Bereshit, only God existed. Nothing else. Whatever that means. With Bereshit bara Elokim, in the beginning God created, we are talking there about creation, yesh me'ayin, something from nothing, creatio ex nihilo in Latin. It's a significant concept. Before that creation, there was nothing but God, and that act of creation brought everything into existence in one big bang, if I could borrow that term. We sum it up with the words Bereshit bara Elokim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz, and there it is not specifically the heavens and the earth, but it's a term that is used generically for everything. And when I say everything, I mean all matter, all atoms, all molecules, all energy forms, all thoughts, all time, all concepts, all everything. There was nothing before that, save God, and everything came into existence at some point. Again, I don't know if that's the best term to use. We'll have to do it. Before what we know of as Sheshet Yemei Bereshit, the 6 days of creation. Now, how long did that take? Before I answer that, or before I not answer that, let me say also, in what form, what did the Bereshit creation of something from nothing look like? The second verse describes, V'ha'aretz hayata tohu vavohu, the world was void and chaotic. V'choshech al pnei tahom, darkness over the depths. V'ruach Elokim merachefet al pnei hamayim, and the Spirit of God hovered over the water. I don't know what that means. We don't know what that means, at least in this school of thought. It is a description of a primordial, if that's the right word, mix of everything. After that, begin the 6 days of creation. How long was this period, which I will call Bereshit? Not only don't I know, it is totally indeterminable. It is not a question that could be answered, because the question implies length of time, which was part of that chaotic mix, but not yet shaped into what we can relate to as the flow of time. Whatever that means. I'm going to say that a lot. Then comes day one of creation, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and God distinguished light from dark, and named the light day, and named the dark night, and proclaimed it as good, Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Voker, Yom Echad. That was the first day. That is not creation of something from nothing. It's the beginning of creation of something from something. That something being part of what came into existence, Bereshit. And this is what I am referring to as phase two of creation. The second day were the waters and the separation of the waters and the upper waters and the lower waters, and call them clouds and call them oceans, whatever. Other things, according to our tradition, were created on the second day of creation. And then there was the third day of creation, where the waters were not joined, but separated out in various locations, leaving dry land and continents, or if you want to say that Pangaea, whatever it's called, that single landmass which later separated into continents and islands and things like that as we know today. And plant life came into existence on the third day of creation. The fourth day of creation is devoted, according to the account in the Torah, to the sun, the moon, and the stars, placing them in their proper positions and orbits in the sky, in the heavens. And the fifth day of creation were water life, fish, etc., birds in the air, insects. The sixth day of creation, land animals, including mammals, including probably reptiles, and the final act of creation before that very first Shabbat Bereshit, the creation of human being, first as a combined male and female creature, then separated into male and female, then commanded to join together in a marriage and produce a family, which would once again rejoin the two parts of original human that was created. This is obviously not a thorough presentation of creation, but I ran through a light summary in order to say that phase two of creation is what we call Sheshet Yemei Bereshit, 6 days of creation. Then came the instant before that very first Shabbat of creation, where according to our tradition, as spelled out in Pirkei Avot, many individual special items were created to be used in the future, including the power of speech to the donkey that spoke to Bilam, the earth, its mouth, which opened up and swallowed Korach and his rebellious group, and several other items, and that also is a whole talk all by itself. Second phase of creation culminates in the very first Shabbat. And there we see something that's also a little potentially confusing, because at the same time that the Torah describes it as a resting from activity, Vayechulu Hashemayim Varetz V'chol Tzva'am, and the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their array. By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he abstained on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because of it, because on it he abstained from all his work which God created to make, to do, la'asot. That's the very important final word of the first portion of the Torah, the description of creation, la'asot. That word, a very pregnant word, double meaning really, you'll see in a moment, is a key that leads to the third phase of creation. Let's go back one step, not to the Shabbat of creation, but to the Friday, the Yom Shishi, the day that Adam HaRishon, first man, first human, was created. On that day, God charged the male and the female, as he previously had done with the animal life. He charged humankind with what we count as the very first mitzvah in the Torah. Pru urvu umilu et haaretz v'chivshuha. Be fruitful and multiply, fill the world and conquer it. That also, in addition to the word la'asot, is a key to phase three of creation, which is our turn. To simulate, to in any way do what God had done, bereshit, cannot be done, not by a human being. God is capable of creating something from nothing. Human beings must create something from something, whether it's the creation of a baby by the union of a sperm and an egg. Then the sperm and the egg are the something from which humans create with the tools and abilities that God created in us to further the act of creation by having children and raising a family. This is part of phase three. Also part of phase three is taking a piece of wood and another piece of wood and hammering a nail to join the two of them. That is an act of creation of something from something. And that too is a God-given charge to humanity to be creative, to continue the acts of creation. That's phase three. It could be something very sophisticated, like an invention which changes life on earth. It could be simple things. It could be cooking food. It could be playing a musical instrument. It could be a zillion things, all part of the creation of phase three, which God gave over to us to continue his work. We believe that after God created the world, he continues to not only supervise what's going on, but he continues the renewal of creation. Hamachadesh betuvo b'chol yom tamid ma'asei v'reshit. We acknowledge that God renews the acts of creation as a kindness, as an act of good, for us every day. But we are no longer the bystanders. We are no longer the first human being who came into the picture only at the very end of the sixth day of the 6 days of creation. We are now partners with God. He continues his kind of creation. We take the abilities which he gave us and continue to create. That is phase three. That is implied with the word la'asot. Yes, God says, I have ceased the 6 days of creation and the malacha, the work that I have done on those days, but I am giving this to you, the Shabbat, as a day of rest, but with the charge of la'asot, you continue to do. This is a tremendous responsibility that God gave human beings. And we have to live up to this responsibility by being as creative in a positive way and by shunning destructive behavior, no matter how creative. It's a two-way street. And we are duty-bound to take the positive side and shun the negative. It is interesting to note that when Pirkei Avot refers to the 10 divine sayings of creation, and the commentaries tell us that Bereshit is one of them, and then you look for Vayomer Elohim, and the Lord said this, that, or the other thing, you find only 8 items. So you've got Bereshit, you have 8 Vayomer Elohims, that's 9. Where is the 10th divine saying of creation? One of the answers is, when God spoke to original human being and said, be fruitful and multiply. In other words, creative act number 10 of God in completing creation is endowing us with the ability to continue and to perpetuate this world which God created and which he placed us in. To me, this answers the very important question, what am I doing here? God created the world, but what am I? The answer is, I am one of the human beings which God said, carry on. Do what I've taught you to do, what I've given you the ability to do. Be creative. We'll be right back.
You're listening to
Torah Tidbits Audio.
Rest your eyes.
We're talking about Bereshit in the beginning, and one way to look at creation. I really have to say also that it's more a matter of understanding or attempting to understand what the Torah tells us about creation rather than understanding creation. In other words, the Torah could have been more explicit, it could have been less explicit. And it chose a description in the first chapter of Bereshit. It chose a reiteration from a different perspective in the second chapter of Bereshit. It gives some detail, certainly not all detail. And we have to cope. I think that has to be the workable word here, with what the Torah tells us when we are confronted with what science tells us. And then we go back and look at a relatively scant description in the Torah. Then questions of Torah and science and potential conflict arise. I had a wonderful teacher at Yeshiva University, a person well-versed in Judaic studies and very well-versed in secular studies. I had him for several biology courses. I am referring to Rabbi Dr. Moshe Tendler, who once said to us in microbiology that if anything arises in the course of this year that raises a question of any kind of conflict between Torah and science, know the following. A, there is no conflict. B, if you think there's a conflict, you either don't know enough Torah or enough science, or both. And I think that was a very humbling message that has guided me throughout my life. I taught Jewish studies and I taught math and science, and I carry with it not just an inspiration from Dr. Tendler, but from Dr. William Etkin, Zichrono Livracha, and it goes back even to high school days with Rabbi Fred Bohensky, who I had for biology. These were God-fearing people who did not leave their religious beliefs at the door of the laboratory, but brought them in and presented a full, true picture of the world in which we live. There are no conflicts. When science says that the world is 4.5 billion years old or 15 billion years old or whatever, it does not mean that much time ago the world started. It means that the world behaves, nature behaves today in a way which we can extrapolate back to a point 15 billion years ago, but the aging of things are not subject to being accurately predictable or calculable based on our observations of today. I just go back to what I said about Bereshit bara Elokim in the beginning. There was an act of creation. It took an instant, or it took eons, or it took whatever amount of time if you want to attach to it. But anything that came into existence then, which is everything, there is no way to time it, to age it, to calculate how long ago it was, because there is a void of, again, I'll have to use the word time, which was not subject to the normal laws of nature. The 6 days of creation were not the subject of normal laws of nature. That was part of creation. The period from creation until the flood, the laws of nature were not the same completely as we have them today. The year of the flood was not normal. And since then, even if you want to say, since the flood, God himself says it in the Torah, things will proceed at a natural pace, meaning the laws of nature now continue to take effect. There have been occasional miracles as described in the Tanakh where nature again was suspended and the rules were bent. By and large, laws of nature apply, but certainly anything that you want to attribute from the time of the flood, before the flood, from the days of creation, and especially from the Bereshit period that I described in the beginning of the show, throws your timing completely off. Do I believe that the sixth day of creation occurred 5,770 years ago? Yes. Do you have to say that, or can you explain it differently? Yes. There is no conflict. And when regular scientists use the term evolution, and my teachers, the ones I mentioned before, especially Dr. Edkin and Rabbi Dr. Tendler, who use the term evolutionary pathways and explained what they meant by using that phrase rather than the term evolution, then things work out very nicely together. It's a matter of what you call it. But I digress. I really didn't want to get off there. I said what I said before, and I think that the message that I want to impact on you, the listener, is that three-phase idea of creation, that first phase of something from nothing we can't do anything about, we can't learn from it, we can't understand it, we can't know it. The creation of something from something we emulate, and God wants us to emulate it. And that's what life is all about on this planet and anywhere else in the universe. Before I get back to some more of Bereshit, if I do, I want to digress, not really digress, but I want to transit over to the other topic of this Shabbat, and that is Rosh Chodesh. So let's go back. The month of Tishrei is really so full of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, the days prior to Sukkot, with a lot of preparation, the building of the Sukkah, the purchase of the Arba Minim, the preparing for Yom Tov, and then the Chag itself. And by the time Simchat Torah finishes, one is emotionally and spiritually drained from the last month, and then you realize you've got the rest of the year and the rest of life in front of you, and you're starting at a great starting point, Bereshit, in the beginning. And only with the post-holiday outlook do we sense that life is settling down to normal. And one of the first items on the agenda is the Jewish calendar and the proclamation of the month, the sanctification of the month, the blessing of the month, and that Shabbat Bereshit, the one after Sukkot, is always, always, always the one on which we announce the coming month of Mar Cheshvan. Now, Mar Cheshvan is the second month of the year, or the eighth month, depending on how you count months. It's not the beginning, but it is the beginning, because our beginning of the year was not preempted, but was overshadowed, we'll say, eclipsed by the holidays. So the first time we're back to a normal look at a Rosh Chodesh in a month is Cheshvan. So this Shabbat, the custom is not only to announce Rosh Chodesh will be tomorrow on Sunday and the following day on Monday, but it is also a time where we evoke God's blessings and we petition Him to grant us a good month, a month of life, and a month of prosperity, and a month of peace, and a month of health, and many, many other requests that go along with it. Then we say, Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, Yichyeb Machar B'Yom Rishon, Uviyom Sheni, Habo Aleinu Val Kol Yisrael Litova. We proclaim when Rosh Chodesh is. Rosh Chodesh being on Motzoi Shabbat, meaning in close proximity to Shabbat, allows me to review a topic which is very dear to me. I'm gonna try not to get too far into the details, but Shabbat and the Jewish month represent, between the two of them, the concept of sanctity of time. And I would almost summarize it as follows. God, in the account we have in this week's Torah reading, labored for 6 days, bringing the world into existence, into shape, into form. And he rested on the seventh day and sanctified the day. We say this in our Kiddush, which is from the Torah. Al kein beirach Hashem et yom HaShabbat vayikadshehu. Therefore God blessed the Shabbat day and he sanctified it. He sanctified time. And he is teaching us to react to that sanctity by a different mode of behavior on Shabbat. The laws of Shabbat are very complex. The basic idea is Shabbat is different from the rest of the week. It's 6 days of the week you shall work and do all of your activities. Uvayom hashvi'i, and on the seventh day, it is Shabbat Lashem, a day of rest devoted to God. Go, go, go during the week. Stop. Calm down, sit down, concentrate, relax, ponder. It's Shabbat. So Shabbat is a day that God sanctified and taught us the meaning of the sanctity of time. Then he said something more. He said, you know what I want you to do? You, the people. I want you to sanctify time as I have sanctified time. And that means that in the time of Sanhedrin, when eyewitnesses came to testify that they had seen in the early evening the first visibility of the lunar crescent, this is how Moshe Rabbeinu was taught by God the meaning of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. That testimony leads the Nasi of the Sanhedrin, the president of the Supreme Council, the Supreme Court of Israel, not the current one, but the halachic one, to proclaim a day as Rosh Chodesh. By a human act, we emulate what God did on Shabbat, and what we do monthly with Rosh Chodesh, and throughout the cycle of the holidays. A holiday, a holy day, Sukkot, Simchat Torah, for example, which we just finished last week, are holy, just as Shabbat is holy, but different. Because God sanctified Shabbat and commanded us to keep it, but we sanctify the month, the calendar, which means we sanctify the holidays. Obviously, it's at God's instructions. We can't choose different days to do this. We are commanded to do it. But it's as if God said, if you do not actively sanctify the month of Nisan, then the 15th is not a holiday. It's not Pesach, there's no prohibition of chametz, there's no mitzvah to eat matzah, there's no mitzvah to drink 4 cups of wine, there's no mitzvah to have a seder, unless you, the Jewish people, declare the first day of Nisan holy, and then Pesach has meaning and has its position as a holiday. God sanctified the Shabbat, we were bystanders. And what we do is observe Shabbat, and we light candles right before Shabbat in its honor and to enjoy, and we recite Kiddush both in prayer and at the meal, Friday night, Shabbat day, in order to be aware of and conscious of the holiness and the sanctity of the day. But it was God's act of sanctity. Not so when it came to festivals. It's as if God said, if you will sanctify the calendar, there will be holy days on it. If not, no way. I'm not going to do it. You're going to do it. And we become active partners with God in the process of sanctifying our time. I've played the following song before, but it just never ceases to impress upon me the fact that on Motzoi Shabbat, Saturday night, after spending a day of Shabbat, God's sanctification, we have a song, which some people say, it's in the Siddur in the Motzoi Shabbat Zmirot, which includes the concept of Yehi HaChodesh HaZeh, let this coming month be blessed, that we're not blessing the month only on the Shabbat before Rosh Chodesh, in what we call Rosh Chodesh benching, which we do, but we link Shabbat to Rosh Chodesh, those two manifestations of sanctity of time, we link them by on the immediately after the Shabbat, we are asking for a blessed month.
Achoydesh hazeh, ki nevuas avi choyzeh, choyzeh. Ishoma, ishoma, bevayzeh. Koy zosoy, vekoy simcha. Chozokim ale, mishaloi seinu. Shoseinu Behu Yishlach B'maseh Yodeinu Rocho B'haslocho Chozokim Aleh Yishaloi Seinu Ha'amityaseh B'koshoseinu Behu Yishlach B'maseh Bakasha Seinu, Behu Yishlach. Tishlach B'maseh Yodeinu Bracha V'Hatzlacha.
Shabbat Shalom, Chodesh Tov, Lehishtameah.